The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome again to the Grace Evangelical Society podcast broadcast, Grace in Focus. Today, we are concluding our short study in the book of 1 Peter with Philippe Sterling, Bob Wilkin, and Ken Yates. What does it mean to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? Love that phrase. Let's talk about it a little bit more when we get into our discussion today in just a moment. First, though, I'd like to invite you to go to our website, faithalone.org, and find there all of the resources and books and the thousands of articles, actually, that we have on free grace issues, theological issues. You'd be sure to find something there to answer some question that you might have. Many other things on the website, but right now time is of the essence. If you want to be with us, in fact, we're inviting you to come and be with us at our national conference, the Grace Evangelical Society's annual conference. 2023 is May the 22nd through the 25th. It's at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas, right close to our headquarters, a beautiful campground. And right now, Ken Yates has a descriptive word about that conference.
One thing about the conferences that I really enjoy is the fellowship. We go to lunches together, we go to dinner together, and you always see people sitting around talking about certain issues that Free Grace people are talking about. And it's so great to be around these guys. You know, you'll see them, they'll do a plenary, and then you can sit around afterwards or go to lunch afterwards and say, hey, let's dive into that a little bit deeper. Last year, they had these big coffee pots out there in the morning, you know, five or six of us just sitting around talking about different theological issues. We also had all these games that were out there, putt-putt. It's just a fun time, and it's relaxed, and I just can't recommend it enough.
Thank you, Ken Yates. And friend, we really would love to see you there. Find out more, get registered at our website, faithalone.org. Now for today's discussion, the conclusion of our study in 1 Peter. Gentlemen?
Well, welcome back, everybody. And I'm here with Ken and
Philippe.
We're finishing up the book of 1 Peter. And I think a case could be made for some more comment on 5:6. And 5:10 as they relate to the saving of the soul. And then we've got the closing words, verses 12 through 14. What about 5:6 and 5:10?
Okay, so he had been talking to shepherds, to young men, but representative really of church, that they ought to, in humility, conduct themselves towards each other. And as they do so, being submissive, ultimately it's being submissive to God. And that God at the right time will exalt us, lift us up. Again, that's the idea of the reward of the inheritance, ultimately, maybe to rule with Christ and to be exalted state in the kingdom to come and in the new heaven and the new earth is dependent on how we're responding within the body of Christ.
Yeah, he
and how we deal with suffering and everything else.
Yeah, he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So the exaltation requires humility.
Yes, and it requires dependence upon God, casting all our care upon him.
Matter of fact, on that, I don't remember who said it. I just thought it was outstanding when I heard it, so I'm going to steal it from him as if it was my idea. When you see there in verse 5, clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, therefore humble yourself. The question is, how do I humble myself before God? Very next verse. By casting all my cares upon him. In other words, it's a participle of manner. Here is the manner in which I humble myself, by recognizing, as you said, Philippe, my dependency upon him. And God loves the humble and resists the proud. So when I recognize my dependency upon him, casting my cares upon him, knowing, and in the context of 1 Peter, the suffering, we identify with Christ, I'm humbling myself before him. You know, some people would read humble yourself before God. It means, I think in my mind, the priest who lay him face down on the floor. You know, no, it is recognizing my dependency upon him as I cast my cares upon him.
And obviously, and who's the greatest example of that?
Christ.
The Lord Jesus.
Exactly.
You know, as he suffered and was rejected and everything, he did not curse, but he committed himself to God.
Sure.
All right, how about verse 10, the last part of verse 10 about that the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have, and you pointed this out strongly, after you have suffered just a little while, will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Is that also about the salvation of the soul?
I think that's a forward look to what the ultimate outcome of it all will be. And just as Jesus was exalted, so we will be exalted, we'll have an inheritance that will equip us superbly to be his bondservants in the new heaven and the new earth, as Revelation 22:5 says.
We will serve
him. And his bondservants shall serve him. That's not the millennial kingdom. This is the new heaven, the new earth.
Too. And the calling here called us to his eternal glory. Right. A lot of people would read that and say, oh, that's talking about, going to heaven. No. We're called to share in his glory.
Yes.
To be the metakoi.
To be being his partners in the world to come.
He will share his glory, his rulership with us. And the promise made to the church at Laodicea, of course, to all believers, that we will sit with him on his throne.
As he sat down with his Father on his throne.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, we've got the closing verses. Would you kind of wrap up the closing verses?
There were opening verses where Peter identified himself and the people that he was writing to. So now, parallel to that, you know, he picks up here, you know, at the end, his closing words. And he says, first of all, he had dictated this letter. He had Silvanus, the Aramaic will be Silas.
Ah, okay.
It could be a different Silas than the one who accompanied Paul. We don't know. He considered him a faithful brother. He said, I just written a few words. You know, he kind of minimizes what he says. And we know this was a pretty long letter, actually. But a few words exhorting and testifying. He says, this is the true grace of God in which you stand. So that wraps it all up. You know, what is the true grace of God given to us as we make our way through, as sojourners, as pilgrims through this life?
Yeah.
Well, it's a true grace, you know, where he enables us as we have a right relationship with the Father, a right relationship with the church, a right relationship to the world around us, a right view, and committing ourselves to suffering, you know, to the Lord. God multiplies the grace that Peter talked about at the very beginning. He says, you know, may God's grace and peace be multiplied to you. So God's grace and peace is multiplied to us as we commit ourselves to him and as we relate properly to the Father, to the church, to the world about us, and to the whole experience of suffering that we may encounter as we make our way through this world to our identification with Christ. So this is a true grace of God in which we stand. And then he ends by saying, you know, the woman, she who is in Babylon, greets you, chosen together with you, and Mark, my son.
Now, is this John Mark, the one who departed from Paul and Barnabas and later ran with Barnabas?
Tradition says that Peter had a special relationship with Mark and that even the Gospel of Mark might have been written under the influence of Peter. But also we know that Peter had a wife,
right?
Probably had children, and he may have had a child called Mark. So we really don't know.
So this could literally be his son?
Yeah, it could be either way. And then she who is in Babylon, is that his wife or is that the church?
Yeah.
Again, we don't know. It may be that he's actually talking about his physical family.
Yeah.
And then in Babylon is
Rome, right?
Okay, well, that's another question.
Sure.
Within the New Testament itself, there's no indication anywhere that Peter was in Rome. Now, he may have been, and of course, church tradition has it that he was there and was martyred there as well. But is he in Rome during Nero's time? And that's from where this letter is being sent. That's a traditional view.
Around 65 or 66?
Yeah, this would have been around 64, 65,
64, 66. 65,
you know, 66.
Okay.
But Babylon also,
towards
the end of his life, may have been martyred around the same time. But again, there's no indication that Paul and Peter were together in Rome. Or that's no indication, of course, that Peter was the first bishop of Rome that eventually led the whole line of apostolic succession and all of that. Is Babylon? Could be cryptically. It could be Rome. It could be Jerusalem as well. This might be the Jerusalem before the Jewish wars or during the Jewish wars and everything and the suffering, of course.
Right.
If it's a church, the church that's in, let's just say, Rome or wherever, elect, it goes back to the beginning, too.
Yes.
You're elect pilgrims. So is this church, where I'm riding from.
And they send their greeting.
Right.
But we're still connected.
We're all pilgrims.
We're
God
all
has
pilgrims.
Chosen us to be pilgrims here.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So we need to wrap up. The last verse is just greeting one another with a kiss of love or with a holy kiss and peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. So this is basically just showing his love and affection.
Yes, we're to be affectionate towards each other, not necessarily in a physical sense, even though in the custom of the time, a kiss on the cheek, you know, a kiss of peace.
And we had that in the Serbian Orthodox Church. Yeah. I think you said...
In my culture, in Haiti, too, it was common that whenever at family gatherings, you know, I have to go and kiss on the cheek all the aunts and uncles.
Okay, now, how about a quick summary? We've only got a couple minutes left, but how about a quick summary of the entire book?
Okay. Again, the salvation of the soul, as Peter brings it up first, refers to the soul a number of times after that. The lust of the flesh that fight against the soul, or to commit ourselves to the shepherd and guardian of our soul, or to purify our souls and that. So he continues to develop that idea. But the salvation of the soul is not to be taken, use a theological word, soteriologically. It's
right.
Not how we get eternal life, but rather as a reward for discipleship and commitment while suffering for Christ. So there's a continuity between our life experience on earth and our life experience in the life to come.
Yeah.
Too. So by our life experience on the earth, if we are functioning properly in our relationship with the Father, with the church, with the world at large, with the whole experience of suffering, then we're accumulating an inheritance. And that inheritance is the value of a life well lived. So even if I go back to some initial quotes that only one life will soon be passed.
Only what's done for Christ will last. And that was said by
C.T. Studd.
C.T. Studd, the famous missionary.
Yes. Gave up everything, but gave his life, a life of service.
Gave up great wealth, right.
Yes. Yep. And then, of course, Jim Elliot, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose.
Amen.
Yeah. So rewards is the major part probably of the book of 1 Peter.
And it's a major theme of the entire Bible.
Right.
Genesis to Revelation. All right. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Philippe. Phenomenal job. This has really been a tremendous series. And remember,
keep grace in focus.
Bob Wilkins' great book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, is available half price right now in the GES bookstore, faithalone.org. Go there and use the code word MISUNDERSTOOD for 50% off through March the 31st, 2023. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options is our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or one of the guests here on the program? Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, we talk about church discipline from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And we would all love for you to join us. This is the Grace Evangelical Society reminding you to always keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.